Hey, this is Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show, and when I'm not recording my own farts, I'm listening to Infonomicon, getting the news I didn't know I needed, so make sure you listen weekly.
You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
We have to strike now, sir! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill!
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Well, this is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio, and this is part two of my interview with the Iron Geek. I believe this is episode 33, so here we go.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I know the feeling. On the resume, instead of putting like all different certifications I've gone through, I actually went to the bottom of putting all the tests that I had to take. I make it seem like I know more than I necessarily do.
I just, today, I received my college diploma from junior college. I graduated junior college in 2001, and it's taken until now to get it to me. But I'm very proud to be a college graduate.
A lot of people out there in the hiring, they want to see those pieces of paper.
Yeah.
At least a college degree. The certifications don't seem to have done me much good, but the college degree is something that people definitely look for.
You're working at a college. You go in there also?
From time to time. Basically, I got my comp sci degree. I'm waiting for them to offer an information science degree.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I've been taking a few philosophy classes and some other odds and ends. Took a dance class last semester because the women outnumber the men about 3-1.
Hell yeah. I took a theater class for that very reason.
Doing what class for that?
I majored in theater for a short period of time just for that reason.
Is it that good in theater?
Yeah, theater was good. Yeah. And then all the guys there didn't really like girls.
All the girls you can have yourself, and all the guys are probably buying you free beer. It's a win situation, man.
It is a win-win situation.
I'll have to look into taking some theater courses. Not to mention it might help me with my little productions of various Shockwave Flash videos. And also whenever I orate for them, I want to be able to speak more eloquently and sound like I know what the hell I'm talking about and not say, and like, you know, dude, and that kind of stuff.
Y'all should have just seen his hand motions when he was speaking there.
What are we talking about?
We're about to start talking about bootable CDs.
Oh, bootable CDs. One of the best things that has really taken off in the last 2 years is various types of bootable CD media and different distributions that have come out. First one we'll cover is one of the lesser known ones that is not Linux, that's Windows-based, but it's awesome for fixing various Windows problems. Whenever someone comes to me with a laptop or the home PC that's covered in spyware, I whip out a copy of Boot CD Builder. Now, in itself, it's not actually a boot CD you can download the ISO of. Basically, you download this application from a Boot site. It's like www.nu2.nu/PE Builder. You download this little application, point it towards your XP install files that you copy off your CD,
mm-hmm.
You tell it what plugins you want to load. You can add extra plugins in the plugins directory. There's various things like security features and so forth. There's like plugins for Adware and a bunch of other spyware removal tools.
Anything you want. The Giant, Microsoft's new one they bought, is actually on there listed as Giant anti-spyware.
I've yet to play with that one yet. I saw the one where it said Microsoft anti-spyware beta, but they didn't even remove the plugin. You said the Giant one was... I knew they bought it from Giant, but the Giant one was fine when installing the Microsoft version of it.
We did it yesterday.
I'll have to add it to my boot CD. I got stuff like that on it, a couple of security tools, and a solid password renew tool, which are you familiar with the Linux boot disk you use to do a password hash insertion?
Yes, I am. We use that an awful lot.
Well, the other way you do it from a VaultPE builder disk.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of actually inserting the hash on top of the admin, which you can still do that, it lets you create a new account completely.
Yeah.
Change the old admin account. You create a new admin, local admin account that you can log in and do your work, which is really awesome.
And then you just delete it and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just delete it when you're done, and there's no trace of you having to fix it, and you don't have to go change all kinds of junk.
And I'm trying to think if you can delete it, because...
Well, you can delete it from Windows.
Yeah, the problem, because I'm trying to know if the tool allows you to delete accounts that are on the local hard drive, because you log in as an admin... But then you couldn't remove that admin account while you're logged in as it, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm saying when you're done, you log in the Windows session and remove it there.
Okay.
We've been playing with it.
Can you remove a local account as when you're logged in as that local account?
No.
Then I'm thinking you might have a problem removing it later on. Because if that's the admin account that you have, how are you going to remove it?
Well, what we were doing is we were creating another account. We called it... test or tech or something, and we'd make it an admin account, and when we're done finishing with the computer, we'd of course boot into Windows and load all your Windows updates, because no one ever does that, and while we were doing that, we would delete the account that we had created. We would log into somebody else.
Oh, okay. That means you'd have to have someone else's account to get it.
Yeah, we were just getting rid of everybody's passwords, because it's a nuisance.
Gotcha. But I love VaultPE Builder. It's not so much an ISO you can download as a tool you can use to create your own ISO.
Mm-hmm.
And there's great packages out there that people have figured out how to get to run on it. And if you just want something you can carry around with your own Windows tools that you want to use, and just like a library or a university and boot from it to get tasks done that they may not have the software installed or the machine to do, it's awesome for that.
Or you could have your own wallpaper and load that onto it, so whenever it turns on, it's whatever you like.
Yeah, I've got like a Punisher skull and a picture of my new work facility.
I haven't played around with this next one. It's called Auditor Boot CD. Tell us about it.
Auditor is one of the newer security distribution CDs. You've probably heard of Flack and Nofix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like both Flack and Nofix. I've played with them. I've done tutorials with both. They're both good. They're not as up-to-date as Auditor is. For Flack, I think the last release was like February 2nd of last year, and STD was like February 20th of last year. The newest version of Auditor right now is March 12th, 2005. And its tools are much more up-to-date, and there's a few little things they do. For instance, they get tools like RelinWriter to work correctly. Have you ever used RelinWriter?
Mm-mm.
It's kind of like Kismet, but a little bit prettier interface. I don't know if it has all the features, but it's pretty nice. I use a version called RelinWriter 2 on my Sharp Zoris, and I really like it as a war-driving tool. It also, a few other things it does nicely is it doesn't automatically configure your network interfaces for you. You have to deliberately turn them on. And the nice thing about this is it allows you a chance to set the MAC address or configure them before it actually automatically tries to connect to the network and announce itself.
That's awesome.
Which, I like that, and there's tons of really cool tools. I think one of the core developers on it is a guy named Max, talking to him on his forums not long ago. I'm going to throw out the URL for the Auditor Boot CD. http://new.remote-exploit.org. And if you go there, you can probably look around the links to find it, but after that, it's like /index.php/auditor_main.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't couldn't keep sensitivity yet and use an uppercase A there. On the auditor. But yeah, it's my favorite gun. The other ones are Flack and Knovix STD, which are both also very, very good and have great forums to support them. currently Arthur is fairly new, and there's not as many people on the forums who have kicked the tires and figured out how to do things with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to give me instructions on the forums as yet as you would on Black or Canopic FDD. But there's a trade-off there. But the newer tools, you definitely want to go with Arthur Boot CD. I know it's running like NMAP 3.75, which I believe is the newest stable release of NMAP, if I'm incorrect. Are there any other CD distributions you'd like to talk about? Or some live CD-based distributions you'd like to talk about?
Well, you hit the... Like, I've been using PE Builder pretty heavy lately, and a lot of the information we started with, getting it off your website, you've got a lot of good information. I've used FLAC. I didn't really... I use Nopix STD a lot.
What's that? Like that, just, it's just a user interface preference, largely.
Yeah. It's hard to get around in FLAC. The Linux I run on most things that I use is Mepis Linux, and it's a live CD that you can install, just like Nopix. It's not near as bloated as the full Nopix distribution, and I enjoy that because I like adding my own stuff to it. And it's also Debian-based. It works...
I looked into remastering my own Canopix CD, and the instructions are pretty freaking detailed. How bad is it on that other live CD you just listed?
On Mepis, I haven't looked into it. I actually bought Nopix Hacks a few months ago, and yeah, I was reading in there about remastering Nopix. That's a big project for me. I don't have any time.
I love O'Reilly's books.
Yeah.
They're the best publisher out there all around.
I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, and half the books I have are O'Reilly books.
The thing about O'Reilly that I love is that there's a lot of books that gloss over and write stuff for managers. They don't get into the technical details. Then there's other books that get so into the nitty-gritty that you never understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, O'Reilly's writes that fine line in between where if you have a little knowledge on the subject, it gives you what you need to know to pick up the rest, which I really, really like.
And if you have a little question, they've got lots of answer for your question.
Mm-hmm. And as far as publishers that support the open source community, I can't think of anybody that beats them.
Mm-mm.
Actually, I probably need to pick up a couple of books on SynMail. SynMail configuration, though, that's a huge pain in the fucking ass. Got me looking at it like a monkey doing a math problem.
That's why I just use my Gmail, and I'm happy and I'm quiet.
Well, I have to run some for work, email server for work, so not exactly an option for me, unfortunately. So I love the fact Gmail gives me a gig of space so I can archive like the last 7 years of mail.
Yeah, I'm learning Java programming right now in class. One of my classes is Java, and I've got the O'Reilly book for it, and it's so much better than my textbook. It's written more for people that kind of know what they're talking about, like you were saying, and the textbook's written for people that have never touched a computer, it seems. It's helped me out a lot in my class.
I've been looking at books. I've gotten out of programming for a while. I've done a little C and C++. I love a lot of BASIC back in the day, a lot of VB, a little Delphi, and so forth. But my problem with running into programming is anything that I want to do seems to have generally been always done by someone else, or it's something that would take a lot of time and deep concentration to actually accomplish. Unfortunately, I was introduced to programming with, BASIC A,
mm-hmm.
which is well known for spoiling programmers and fucking them up for learning any better language. Because it makes you a lazy person.
Yeah, I started, I think it was, second grade. We went to computer class at this little rural school I went to. And we had trash 80s, and they were all networked together. And we played Trucker and Oregon Trail and all the good stuff. What was your question?
Oregon brings back memories.
But that was mail-in in the background.
Like when you had to type shoot on Oregon Trail.
I love the old text interface games. A lot of stuff in Sierra back then was awesome, too.
Yeah. And one day she showed us how to write a program, and it was just like an exclamation point on top of some zeros, and it kind of looked like an ant if you squinted and used your imagination. And then she showed us how to use a loop to make these ants just like march up the screen. And that was the greatest thing, and I went home to my Commodore 64, which at the time was nothing more than just a machine that hooked to the television I played games on, and was introduced to BASIC, and I got really into that when I was really young.
Yeah, I remember being a kid going to the local library, and for all the people out there that love computer security and hacking and computers in general, go to your library. Ask them to order your books. Libraries are an awesome resource, and I don't think people use them enough.
If you go to my library, you'll find a copy of Binary Revolution magazine.
You will?
Yes, I placed them there myself.
Cool. I was going to say, I used to go to the library as a kid and pick up books on basic, little game programming in various versions of BASIC. But Binary Revolution magazine, I haven't actually got a chance to pick up a copy. I've picked up a copy of 2600 before, but I haven't picked up Binary Revolution.
They've got a really, really good magazine. They have a lot of quality control before it goes out. So it's not what they want you to hear. It's stuff that made them say, hey, I learned something from this.
That's Stank Dog's baby, isn't it?
That is Stank Dog's baby. And he gave me a couple extra copies because I told him I was putting them in the library and I was helping him tote them around at, oh, that conference in Nashville, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on his site. He posted something about it. But I don't recall the name of it either. If I'd known about that one, that wouldn't have been too distant for me either. You plan on going to Hope?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
My plan is to try, if I can, either go to Hope or DEF CON. I'm not sure which one yet. I would like people to write me and give me your opinion on which one's better.
Do you like to drink a lot?
How do I put it this way? My attitude towards drinking is I usually only drink when I'm at home, because I'd hate to be responsible for causing the death of someone else. And so, basically, if I'm drinking, I ain't driving anywhere if I've even had just a few sips. That's generally my philosophy.
Well, then you can definitely drink in Vegas because you're taking a taxi if you go anywhere.
Most of the time I don't drink much, but when I do, it's I think the term would be copious amount.
Yeah.
But do you think Vegas would probably be a good place?
From what I hear, there's a lot of drinking and a lot of behind-the-scenes computer doing. Like, you meet people and you talk about computers and a lot less going to the talks. But I've never been to either Hope or DEF CON.
I would have wanted the talks. I mean, the nightlife afterwards would be cool too, but the main thing I really want is the talks.
ShmooCon was awesome with the talks. I didn't really see a lot of action afterwards. They had a party we went to that was really good, but it was like Saturday night party. I didn't really see people that were just getting drunk Friday night and going crazy.
I want to talk a little bit about the plight of the rural geek right now. I'm not exactly rural. I have a large city real close to me, but you don't have to get too far out from where I live before you get out in the sticks in southern Indiana. And a few things that are plight for some people are, one, actually getting a broadband connection.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about installing Linux without an internet connection. That's a little bit like having sex without a penis.
Yeah.
Technically possible, but not much fun.
Well, when I was installing Linux back then, I was at military school, and we didn't have such things as the internet.
All you had was discipline, discipline, discipline.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good time. And, like, my parents live in a small town. They still can't get high-speed internet. When my wife and I bought this house, we had to have enough room for the dogs. We wanted an old house we could fix up, and most importantly, we had to have DSL capabilities. Because I live on the internet, and, well, we got DSL, and it works out for us. We got 3 megabit connection, which is pretty good.
I only live like a few minutes away from work, so I used to not have an internet connection at home, because the only thing that was available where I lived was a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I use a standard analog modem where I could go to work and use a T3 line?
Yeah.
But eventually it got to the point I got some more roommates and they wanted to have cable access at home, and I was like, okay, and now I'm so glad I do.
Well, you've got a PDA. Do you have the wireless in it?
Yes. Although I got a little Prism 2-based DF card for it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I got 2 different PDAs. One is an old Axiom X5. I like it as a PDA better than I do the Zorus, but as far as wireless functions and so forth, nothing beats the Zorus, because you can run Kismet on it, you can run VeloRouter 2. As far as pen testing is concerned, you can run Nmap on it, Nemesis, cut-down versions of Ethereal, of course TCP dump. It's an awesome tool.
Yeah, I've got a 2 Windows-based PDAs, an older iPack and a newer iPack, and they're very limited in the wireless tools unless you want to pay a lot of money for them.
Yeah, for the PDAs, for the, sorry, the Pocket PC-based PDAs. Only tool out there I know that's really good for wireless. I mean, something that can actually pick up SIDs that aren't broadcasting. Any access points that's not broadcasting a SID by putting the card in the RF mon mode.
Mm-hmm.
What I know of that can do that on a Pocket PC device is Air Magnet, which, if I'm not mistaken, is fairly expensive software. There's other wardrapping tools, but if people cloak those SID, you're not going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, network command in the nose, not going to be cloaking the SID, because it actually causes more problems than it solves. Not to mention, a confident war driver is going to be using something like Kismet anyway and is going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Well, when I got this one, I made sure to get, I got one that had a compact flash slot, so that it'll be really easy to add stuff into it. But, back to rural areas. We, talking about rural computer geeks. How do they find each other?
Skill and luck. My buddy just said with skill and luck.
Skill and luck. It's the guy that's got the Slackware bumper sticker riding around in his mom's car. That guy's cool.
I got a WWMD bumper sticker on the back of my car. What would Mitnick do? So many people staring at the back of my car, looking at me going, what the hell? People ask me, who's Mitnick? And I say, he was another Jewish dude that was wrongfully imprisoned.
Hey, good call.
That too. Mitnick did some stuff. He should have got jail time, but he still got it. But not exactly the way he did. He kind of got a raw deal.
This is very true.
But he wasn't exactly an angel by any means.
I've got a big AMD sticker on the back of my truck. Because my truck computer is an AMD.
I got a bunch of free pickles from Jim Paxwell a while back, and he figured out something to do with them. But the way that, only way I can think of to find fellow computer geek out in rural area is to post online. Hopefully you can find somebody. Go into a city that's nearby that might have a college, find local comp sci majors. But even then, you have a lot of people who are in comp sci programs who aren't actually in there for computers, they're in there for the money.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the money is somewhat dried up over the years. It's not exactly as lucrative as it was, let's say, 5 years ago. So finding your fellow computer geek of like mind in a rural area is damn difficult. I mean, a while back, I was having things called a Southern Indiana Devious Computing Meeting. We'd all get together at a local coffee shop that had Wi-Fi access and sit there and talk about various computer subjects, computer security mostly. But finding enough people who were strongly enough interested to show up and show up once a month was incredibly difficult.
Well, we've got a Linux users group at my college, and they're very active on the mailing list, but they're not really active at the meeting. We've had one meeting so far this year. Not, like, since January, but since August, the school year. And it was well attended, but some of the people had to drive in. Like, they don't even live in the town anymore. They had to drive an hour to get there. So it's a little hard having a meeting with not very many people.
Yeah, there's a 2600 meeting over in Louisville, at least from time to time there is. The one meeting I got to go, a lot of very knowledgeable people showed up, but a large percentage of the time, people are so busy, not enough people can show up to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Go to one. And it's kind of a bummer. That's one of the reasons I'm looking into these conventions, because I like to meet more like-minded people and network.
Well, there's definitely a lot of meeting at the conventions. I've met a lot of people since I went to the one in Nashville. I still can't think of the damn name of it.
So, Interzone 4, I think?
No, Interzone's in Atlanta.
Okay.
Freaknik. It's called Freaknik.
How is it?
Freaknik was more... The talks weren't very well attended. The talks were pretty good, but they weren't like the ShmooCon talks. It was more a hang-out-with-your-buddies kind of con than a let's-go-hang-out-with-my-buddies and go to this talk that's really very interesting. Like, yeah, I think I went to a couple and there weren't that many people. If you listen to Ben Rev, Stank was talking about this the other day. But it was really nice meeting the people that I wanted to meet when I went there. I had a guy email me today and say, you're from Mississippi? I'm from Mississippi. Well, Mississippi's pretty big and we're not from the same spot, but it's nice to know that some more people have electricity out here.
Yeah. Yeah, online I found a couple more people that live in Indiana. I think I was starting a new web page on my site called Hoosier Hackers. That's a nickname for everybody from Indiana. Everybody from Indiana is a Hoosier.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've talked about all the things we want to talk about.
I hope you're able to edit this into something that doesn't sound. I'll just put one more sound like when the recording comes out.
Well, I listened to it while you were using the bathroom, and it sounds pretty good.
It does.
Alrighty.
So we're good on that. Well, do you have any more links or shout-outs or anything else you want to say right before we go?
Shout-out to the guys at Packet Sniffers and Anti-Online and all my local friends. That's about it.
All right. Well, I'd like to say thank you for being on the show. You've definitely brought the show up a notch with some knowledge. And I'm hoping to make a couple shows out of this, so you're going to have to come back and we'll do some more.
Alrighty.
Alright, buddy. And his site is irongeek.com. It's freaking awesome. Go look at it. He's got tutorials and videos and flash demos and just all kinds of really good stuff. And if you need his phone number or anything at work, just call me or email me and I'll send it to you.
What?
If he's got caller ID, he's got my phone number, so it's alright.
All right, my email address is droops@infonomicon.org. Our website's, of course, infonomicon.org. If you want a t-shirt, email me. If you want a free t-shirt, come do some show notes for us. We need some help with that. If you want to call us, we have a phone number. It's on the website. You can call us. If you want to send in information to us, record yourself. Send it in. It's a good time. And, I still have like a minute to go. I don't have much to say. Let me think, how about my teacher for my telecommunications class informed us that the way he programs is kind of like he grew up in Great Depression. Because he started on a trash 80 and he doesn't believe in writing comments or anything like that. Very, very tight code. Just like people that grew up in the Depression don't throw away aluminum foil. Anyway, closing music is some music I found. I don't know who sang it at all. But listen to it. It's pretty good. And call us, email us. Listen to our radio show. Tell your friends about it. And help us out.
Anyway, I've been Droops, and he's been...
Iron Geek.
And this is Infonomicon. We're Mickey Finn.
Well, I don't know how I got in this state. Hey, it seems that I'm a victim of fate. The loop that I wrote just doesn't work. Now I'm feeling like an infinite jerk. Dave to the left of me, JD to the right. Here I am stuck in an infinite loop. Here I am stuck in an infinite loop. And I don't know what it is I should do. The debugger tells me I'm really screwed. Dave to the left of me, Jay to the right. Here I am stuck in an infinite loop. Well, it started with a precondition. Really thought I had a plan. Well, the monitor comes over. He force quits the machine and says, "Sig abort. Segmentation fault." Try to make some sense of my code, but it seems I let the logic explode. I thought I could just experiment. Next time I'll use an invariant. Dave to the left of me, JD to the right. Here I am stuck in an infinite loop. Well, I started with a post condition. Really thought I had a plan. Well, the monitor comes over. He unplugs the machine and says, "Well, now we halts. Not my fault." Well, I don't know how I got here tonight. The progress condition just wasn't right. My poor brain is under way too much stress. Perhaps recursion would have been best. Dave to the left of me, JD to the right. Here I am stuck in an infinite loop. 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 Oh my gosh, I'm in an infinite loop. Help me please, I'm in an infinite loop.